Thank you for all those who minister, and I'm not just talking about in the church, in the building, but everywhere. As Christ, we wait for his return, which is our great and blessed hope. We cannot wait. But we must. We're in a boat. Did you know that when you accepted Christ, you put him in a boat? What's the worst storm you've ever been in? Think about the time when you were riding in a car and you got caught in the worst wind you've ever been caught in, or hail. I've seen some damaged rigs driving around. Or a boat. Some of you have boats. If you've ridden with Dan, you've been afraid. I was in a car one time that we thought we'd be smart. We were in Texas. We thought we would get in this car and try to save it from the hail we knew was coming. And it was kind of a last minute thing because we had moved one car, and my sister-in-law said, "Listen, I want to move my car." I knew it was stupid. I'm a weather guy. I'll tell you about that in a second. So we got in the car and we're driving along in the middle of this rain, and suddenly the car started going like this, like a boat, and could not see. The rain was just horrendous. So we got out thinking, this is going to fly away. So we got out to get to the nearest house, and as we were going, my sister-in-law got hit in the head with a large hailstone. That's one of my stories. You've got one. You've all been in a boat. Some we've chosen, but when you've got in this Christian, remember that a song just came to mind. Remember Sail On with the Imperials? Some of you will remember. Sail On. When you accepted Christ, he said, "Okay, get in the boat." Oh, we happily get in the boat. We happily go looking for that joyful shore. Here's a couple songs I looked up. You remember Gentle Shepherd, Come and Lead Us. "For we need you to help us find our way, Gentle Shepherd, come and feed us. For we need your strength from day to day." There's another one that says, "Gentle Jesus." Think about this one. "I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses." And then he walks with me and talks with me, and so it's a lovely song. It's about peace and rest and fellowship. This is our, I don't know about you, but when I first came to Christ, this was the picture of the Christian life. This is what I wanted, and this is what I want still. This is coming. This is coming. Not in the millennial kingdom. In the final coming of Christ Jesus. And then the next verse says, "He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing." It's a great song, and it's true in our hearts when we're at peace and rest with Christ. But what about when he asks you to get in the boat? The final verse of that song, "I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me is falling. But he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling." Why? Get in the boat. Go. Go. You've heard the mountaintop experience. Anybody who's been to camp has a mountaintop experience. And then after camp, it's time to go home. And walk into a house and walk into your friends' lives and your school. Go get in the boat. You ever gotten in the boat? You ever done conversation evangelism? I don't want to do that. That means I have to do something with it. I'm a little afraid of that. You ever merged a church? Never seen it done. There's reasons. There's reasons it's not done. Because we're afraid. It really comes down to fear. fear of doing things that are much, much bigger than us. Much bigger. But listen, if it's much bigger than us, then that means it has to be a God. And that's the way he marks it. He doesn't give us a tool to go on our way and do something if it's not him getting the glory and him, people going, how does that work? It only happens because it's bigger than us and it's God doing it, but we are much afraid. I hope you have a good doctor. I hope you have a good doctor. We all need doctors because we don't know. I don't know much about being a doctor. They said before Sonya went into the operation, they said she didn't have much arthritis or anything. They got in there and found some arthritis. And he did some more work. And so I'm looking at the arthritis. I looked at the arthritis online. What is arthritis to you? What is it? Do you know that there's 200 kinds of arthritis? I'm thinking rheumatoid, okay, I can say that word, what's it mean? 200 kinds. Only a doctor knows. Well, Christ is our doctor. Christ knows. Jesus is a good doctor. He says in Jeremiah 17, 30, 17, God says, I'll bring you healing, and I'll heal you of your wounds. In Proverbs 4, he says, keep my words within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body. Is there a doctor in the house? There's only one here. That's Jesus Christ. Let's look at the spiritual health problem of the disciples. We're gonna start a little bit and go backwards because we're gonna find the problem. Whenever you're going through reading, you should probably find the problem. The gospel writers and even Paul and them are writing to a particular issue. So we're going to start at the end and go back. Mark 6, 50, verse 2 says, but immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. We've heard that in here before. They've been much afraid before. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. Like Gary said, you got to get Jesus in the boat. Jesus has to be with us in the boat so that we will not fear. And he got in the boat, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. This means being stubborn, being dim, not believing. When you read this, you get down to this crossing of the sea and the storm, and you get to the end, and it says that they didn't understand the loaves. I'm confused. What's the storm and getting into a boat have to do with loaves? Well, we need to talk about that, but just understand that their hearts were hardened. That's the problem. And Jesus is the heart doctor. What's the medicine? Get in the boat. So they went away. Now this is back in verse 32. They went away in a boat to a desolate place. This is the last time they got in the boat. Many saw them going and recognized them. Jesus saw the crowd, had compassion on them. He began to teach them many things. It grew late. His disciples said, this is a desolate place, and the hour is late. Send them away to get something to eat. Remember the last time we spoke together, I talked about necessity and doing something, and Jesus needed to make bread, and the disciples didn't have compassion, and so they said, send them away. But let's face it, Jesus said, you give them something to eat. You give them. And you know what they said? We don't have it, we can't do it, we don't have enough money. Okay, Jesus is saying, you're right. You can't. Instead of saying, send them away, why don't you just say, Jesus, could we do something for these folks? I mean, I can't make bread, but you're eating. You're God. You're our help. We don't know what to do, but these people are hungry, and you're teaching them. We probably shouldn't send them away because if we had a whole crowd of thousands of people here listening, what are we going to do? No, they said, send them away. Let's fix the problem. Send them away. Well, that's not our problem. The hard problem is, one, they don't have compassion, and two, they don't understand who they're dealing with. Christ, Son of God, who casted out the demons and all those. So back to our verse 652, they did not understand about the loaves, their hearts were hardened. So verse 45 now, we're catching up. This is where we begin our work this morning that Gary read. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, and he dismissed the crowd. So now think about the time that it takes to dismiss 4,000 or 5,000 people or whatever it is. He's taking his time to dismiss the crowd, but before that happens, he made them get into the boat. What is that word? That is forced, compelled. He made them get into the boat. Now, last time they got into a boat, there was no problem getting them into the boat. There was a problem when they got into the boat. They were afraid, and there was a storm came up, you remember. And Jesus calmed the storm. He said, "Why are you afraid?" And he calmed the storm. And I, at this point, I know what they're saying. Fool me once, shame on you. I mean, me. Fool me twice, shame on you. He said, we went through a storm last time. I'm not getting in the boat. Well, Jesus calmed the storm when this happened. That doesn't matter. There was a storm, and he had to make them and force them into the boat. But look at the other key words. The boat, and go before him. In other words, while he was remaining on land, he was going to go with them. It's funny that they didn't question, how are you going to get there? They do it at other places in the gospel, but not here. They were afraid to get in, and then Jesus is on land, and they're going, here we go again. And they're going to Bethsaida. This is important, because they don't end up in Bethsaida. So Jesus has a direction for his church. He has a direction for his disciples. He has a direction for you. And he wants to take you to a direction. Now, this is amazing because they don't get to Bethsaida, and it makes us wonder what would have happened on the other side. What was he planning? What was on his mind? What did we miss? Because whatever was going to happen to Bethsaida didn't happen. He had to force them to get into the boat. Then he dismissed the crowd. I was in the Air Force and took some gas mask training. And they weren't using deadly chemicals. They were using some other just really bad smelling stuff. And we were supposed to depend on these masks, but at first we had to go into the gas chamber without the mask. And I didn't want to go in. But they wanted us to know what we were being protected from. And how strong those gas masks and how effective they really were. And so we were tested. And you've had very tough tests from doctors, especially recently, right, Bob? I mean, we've had tests that we don't want to take, and school tests, and on. We have those kinds of tests. What Christ says in Hebrews, he disciplines us. It's like a military discipline. It's not a spanking. That's chastisement. He's disciplining us and testing us. And that all comes out, okay, how's this going to work out? I want to see you work it out. How is the test going to come out? So he compels them. Here's your test. First test, get in the boat. They almost failed. They got in. What was he testing them for? Faith. Do you know that I'm with you? Do you know that I am who I said I am? Do you know that I can cover you and watch you and take care of you? Even though I'm going to be standing on the land, not just that, going up on the mountain and praying. Do you know that? Do you know that you will have fear and yet you will overcome? Because when you call for Christ, when you call for Jesus, peace comes. Like a river. I know that if you have a fellowship with Christ, That there's been times in your life where you just, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to face this anymore. And you come to him and you say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And when you do that, the peace of God overflows your heart and soul. And if you've never experienced that, let me tell you, that Christ is not a God of his word if you don't get on your knees in a time of need and know that he hears you. And a peace will come and you'll get up and go, I have no idea what's happening forward. It's still raining. It's still raining. And I have no idea what's before me. But I have a boldness now and a courage now and a love for him now that I'm willing and able to go forward. I'm going to Bethsaida. I want to see what Christ wants to do. You remember Bethsaida up there on the right, Gennesaret on the left, that little red arrow is Magdala. That's where they started from. They were supposed to go from Magdala to Bethsaida. Pretty good stint. That's where they are. I don't know what happened or what happened in the Bethsaida, but somebody missed out because of fear. Let's find out exactly what happens here. Mark 6:46, and after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray, and when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. You see the separation. There's this direct separation Mark's trying to show here. And what do you think he's praying about? Jesus went up on the hill to pray and said, Lord, Father, I'm hungry. I need you, and all this other stuff. I'm not sure. I don't think that's it. I'm thinking he's going up on the mountain, and I'm not sure if he's asking for a storm. I'm not sure if he said, Father, could you whip up a storm like Jonah? Hurl it. The word's hurled. He hurled it on the sea. Like threw a baseball storm on the sea and caused it to be stormy. And so the storm comes up. And so Jesus is up here praying. And he said, he's looking out for, Lord, Father, I've got these disciples who've got a heart problem, and I really need to have it healed. I really need help. Jesus is calling to his Father for wisdom, and he's praying for his disciples. I'm sure he's mediating for his disciples, because that's what he does for us today. I'm positive. Because that's his character. And if we know our God, that's what he's doing for us today. In your storm of mind, and whatever storm you will ever face, he is mediating for you and me. How long did this text go, you think? They only got to Gennesaret. Well, a little investigation will help us a little bit. In verse 39, back when he said, set them on the green grass to feed them, the grass turns green in April. The sunset about April, late April, is between 7:45 and 8 p.m. So it was evening that they got in the boat. And then he dismisses the crowd, and then he goes up on the hill, and now he's praying, and then we're going to find out that Jesus comes at the fourth watch, which is at least, at the earliest, 3 a.m., and it was in the dark, between 3 and 6. By the way, just before the run, they're in the boat at least 7 hours. At least. Maybe as many as 9 or 10. And what are they doing? And he saw them. Oh, now see, we're hitting some really neat scripture here. If we sit and ponder this, we find out, how could Jesus see in the dark up from a mountain? For the wind was against them. Okay, wait a minute. That they were making headway painfully. That word is torture. That's the word for torture. Now, you say, time out, Jesus is not into torture. No, nobody's not into torture. He's into healing. So Jesus is up on the hill, knowing what's going on, praying to the Father, and here comes a storm, and they are in torture. If you're in torture, what do? Jesus, come and help me. Come now, please. I need you in the boat. And they've been doing this for 7 hours. They don't understand. They didn't understand the boat. Jesus, I'm in a predicament now that I can't get out of. Jesus, something's happening that's around me that I can't control. Or I'm in need of bread. Whatever it is, we cry out to him, understanding that he is deity, he sees, he's mediating for us, he's praying for us, and he comes. About the fourth watch of the night, he came walking on the sea. This is out of directly out of the Old Testament in a way. Job 9:8 says, he alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. Job 38:16, have you journeyed to the springs of the sea? He asked Job, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Jesus has. Okay, now I understand God had it. Now Jesus is come incarnate, God incarnate. Okay, I understand who Jesus is now. Okay, I get who he is. I understand who he is. Now I need him. Now I need him. Jesus, I'm going on a boat. And it's not going to be good, and I'm afraid because of what happened last time. I need your help. I need your help. And he is already on the way. He's already sorry and seeing you. And he's already on the way. And then it says, he meant to pass by them. Again, some very unique Old Testament scripture. We need to pay attention to what this means. You see it again in Luke, remember? Where he's kind of, he meant to pass by. Jesus doesn't, he's not playing games. I'm cheap by him. But that's not what he's doing. He does things for a purpose, for healing. So he meant to pass by them. Now let's look at Moses here for a second. Moses said to the Lord, this is when he's had it with these people, and he doesn't know what to do. And he says, Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people. Are you kidding me? It's bigger than, I can't do this. But you have not let me know whom you will send with me. He's asking for help. See it? He's asking for help. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Here is Moses in the midst of it, and he says, Lord, come. Lord, come. And if the disciples really understood this passage, they would say, okay, wait a minute, we're out here by ourselves, and this is not good. Lord, come. Lord, we need bread. We don't want to send these people away. Please come. I know you're going to put our hands to it. You're going to have us feed them. You're going to have us do certain things. But we need you in the boat. We need you. I need you in my life, my family, my work, whatever it is. I need you in the boat. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And in chapter 34, he does. His presence passes before Moses. Happens again in 1 Kings. Happens again in 1 Kings 6. 4, I'm sorry. 1 Kings 19. You remember the story. Elijah, I mean, if there's a prophet, I mean, we would say that young people would say he's all that. Elijah's up. He's it. And he's taking care of Ahab. He's taking care of God's business. And then this woman, this really terrorist of a woman, who's just got more courage than she should ever have against God, comes after Elijah and said, if, you know, I'm going to kill him. And Elijah runs. He runs. And he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. You see, God said, go to Ahab and do this. And go to Jezreel and say this and do this and on. And so God put him in a boat. And Elijah got in. And now Elijah's got out. And he's running. What are you doing here, Elijah? This is the fun part of God. And remember Moses when he's standing at the sea and God asked Moses, what are you standing there for? It's the angels. Jesus went up to heaven. Why do you stand there? What are you here for? He said, I've been very jealous of the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I am left alone. And they seek my life to take it. And he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. Great and strong winds tore the mountains. He wasn't in wind. Broke the rocks to pieces. He wasn't in that. In an earthquake, he wasn't in that. In a fire, he wasn't in that. And then a low whisper. That's where he was. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in a cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? I'm sorry, I just read that. And God passed by. Now here is a clear picture of Jesus Christ passing by, using the same words to pass by. Now why would he say, like in Luke and here, that he meant to pass by? What happened? The disciples are in a boat. They see what looks like a ghost, and they are even more afraid. So Jesus is close enough, without revealing himself, close enough to give them a fright to say, are you going to do something now? Are you going to call on me now? I mean, what does it take for you to call me? You're in torture here for at least 7 hours. When will you call on me? Well, I'm going to go walk by him so that he can at least notice me and call on me. I'm going to walk by these two people. I'm going to go to Emmaus so that they'll at least reach out in some kind of faith and say, hey, have you heard what's happened in Jerusalem? Jesus, you know, we're in that situation, and we think about God, and we think about this. Is this time to pray? I don't feel like praying. I don't know if I can ask Jesus for help. I don't know what I can do. I don't know. I feel ashamed of what's happening, whatever it is. And the Holy Spirit is saying, call. Just call. Just call on me. Call, and I will get in the boat. Call, and I will calm the sea. Just call. We don't need a wind. We don't need a ghost. We need the Holy Spirit to come in those times of trouble, those times of hurt, and whatever it is, fear is really the driving factor here, in those times of fear, and say, Lord, help me. Please, I want to stay in the boat. I want to find out what happened and to say it. But by the time that 7 hours passes and maybe more, the wind has driven them off course, and they end up at the end of the day. Back in Mark 4:35. When he said, let's go to the other side. He said, let's go to the other side. And what did the disciples do? The Bible says, and Mark is a very good writer, and the Holy Spirit is telling him, and I'm sure Peter is there with him, and they're trying to figure this out, what the Holy Spirit was trying to get across. And it says in 4:35, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, evening again, let us go across to the other side. And leaving a crowd, they took him. What? They took him. It's like Jesus would come and say, let's go across the street and have coffee. And they go, hey, I know a great place. Peter saying, hey, you can be my boy. And they took him. But not the next time. Yeah, the first time. When those times come, and they will come, as he strengthens our faith and moves our fear to the side, and by Hebrews, I think it's 12, says, as we cast our sin down from us, that thing that weighs us down, as we cast our fear aside, we look to Christ and we call on him the first moment we think of him, even beforehand, and we say, Lord, please help me in what I'm about to do in your name.
We're even glad to be in the boat. And we need your strength, we need your presence to go before us, with us. We need the courage and strength of the Holy Spirit to overwhelm us sometimes because we're overwhelmed by our flesh and our fear. I pray, Lord God, if there's anybody here that fears anything, anybody, any circumstance, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit and your word that he will come, he will rest, and show them the way. You are our way. We love you, Lord. Praise you.